Welcome in. It is Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 10 o'clock. Got plenty to discuss. As always, if you want to hop in at any point during the show, feel free as well, 800-636-1067. So we'll get into Commanders OTAs coming up at 7 o'clock. Had the opportunity to be out there today, so I'll give you some of my observations, some of the things that I took away. Also want to play some audio from Mikey Sanrestill still talking about David Blau's offense and some of the things that he's seen in similar offenses and what makes it so difficult to defend. Also want to hear from Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn. David Harrison, Locked On Commanders, WUSA9 as well. He's going to drop by at 8 o'clock. Want to get his thoughts. He was out at OTAs. He's got a great football mind, so want to get his thoughts on what was going on out at OTAs and some of his thoughts going into the season. There's also been an interesting discussion about the NFL and their schedule and games, if they're maybe getting away from Sunday a little bit too much. You got varying sides of the opinion with Jason Kelsey and Chris Sims, so want to play that audio for you in a little bit as well. But want to start with the Washington Nationals. We'll get into them a little bit later in the program as well. Want to talk about James Wood and the season that he's had. But the Nationals fall today in the series finale in Cleveland, but you know, overall, what they were able to do on this road trip, really, really encouraging for this baseball team. And it's just a blast to watch what they've been able to do this season and to see the way that a lot of the fans have come back to embrace this team. Yet the loss today snapped a 4-game win streak. They could have easily won the series opener at Atlanta on Friday last weekend. Weren't able to do so, but then bounced back by shutting out the Braves on Saturday and then coming up with just a 1-run performance for Atlanta on Sunday. Then you poured it on Monday. We had the parade yesterday, and we didn't jinx them. Knock on wood, we didn't jinx them. Thankfully, Grant and I weren't able to do that, so they get the win yesterday, unable to finish off the sweep of the Guardians today. But much-needed day off for the Nationals tomorrow. But it's been fun to see how this team has been able to start to figure out how that nice marriage of analytics and also that feel can start to work together. I think Blake Butera is starting to come into his own and the way that he manages this ball club, and the way that this team is starting to kind of get more comfortable in what their roles are and the ways that they're going to be used. And, you know, they don't have a traditional closer, but different guys are starting to see those opportunities more and more. So they're getting comfortable in those sorts of roles. They're using the opener, and you're seeing guys get comfortable in that sort of a thing. Littell, you know, he's been a reliever. He's been a starter. Last couple of years, he's worked as a starter. Now he's still working as a starter, but coming out of the pen a lot of times. And Michaelis, same sort of thing, coming out of the pen after an opener. And that's a difference. Like, that's something that takes a little bit of time to get adjusted to, but this team is starting to really come around and come into their own. And if you just look at what this team has been able to get out of their starting pitching in the 6 games leading up to today, not including today's start, how about this? Cade Cavalli went 6 innings, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts. Zach Littell, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts. Foster Griffin, 6 innings, no runs, 6 strikeouts. Irvin, 5 innings, no runs, 7 strikeouts, and that's also with no hits after he got pulled after 5 innings because of the fact that there was a rain delay between his first and second innings of work, and hopefully that shoulder strain is minor like it seems like both the team and him think so. Miles Michaelis was good his last time out, 5 innings of scoreless baseball, and then Cade Cavalli once again yesterday, 7 innings of 2-run ball with 9 strikeouts. Been so impressive to see that this team is starting to turn the corner on the pitching side, because that was one of the things that if there was a knock early on this season from me, it was that the staff did a really good job of putting their hitters in the best position possible. We've talked about this ad nauseum, but you know, just kind of talking about the way that they make sure that obviously the platoons are correct, but making sure you put guys in opportune spots for the types of pitchers that they're going to be facing and those sorts of things. So making sure that they're optimized with the guys behind them in terms of the order or stuff as well. But you've seen guys come through in many big spots as hitters because of the fact that they've been put in really good spots. And ultimately, it's up to the players to be able to come through and make the play, come up with the big hit, draw the walk, work the good at-bats. But you can help a player out by putting him in the best position to succeed, and I think the staff had done a really good job of that. I think at the beginning of the season, they hadn't necessarily figured out that right formula to be able to do that for the pitchers yet. And it's a little bit tougher with pitchers, because when it comes to pitching, you know, hitters you can hide a little bit. You know, if you don't want the lefty to face a guy like an Aroldis Chapman come out of the pen, you can pinch hit for him. Or if you don't want, you know, the righty to face someone like a Tyler Rogers who's got a nasty arm angle, you can pinch hit for him and try to do those sorts of things to make sure that they're not put in as tough a spot. Versus if you're a starting pitcher and you're going to give you, you know, 4 or 5 innings, if not hopefully a little bit more, you're going to have to face, in Atlanta, Ronald Acuna. You're going to have to face Matt Olson. You're going to have to face Ozzie Albies. And there's no way around that. It's not like you're going to intentionally walk those guys every time they come to the plate. So you can only hide them so much, and you can only help them so much. I get that. But it did feel like at times they were still trying to find that right mix of how can we use this guy here? How can we maximize his couple of innings here? How can we make sure that the matchups and everything that we like is lined up exactly how we want it to? And now it's starting to seem like both the coaching staff is starting to understand the correct ways to put their guys in the best position, and you're also starting to see, on the flip side, the players start to get really comfortable in those various roles and getting into the season. Because, like people talk about all the time around baseball, the earliest that you can generally look at the standings and feel like you can get a read on where teams are at is Memorial Day, and we just passed that. And when you look at where the Nationals are at, they're third now in the NL East. I think the Phillies are probably playing today, but they're a half game back of them. The Nationals are 29-28, Phillies 29-27. The Braves are the best team in baseball, so they're all chasing them, who are 37-18. But if you look at them just overall in the National League, I mean, it's really impressive to see where they're at. The National League is incredible this season, so the Nationals probably aren't going to make the postseason, even if they do play really, really well, because you look at where the Nats are at. They're one of four teams within a game and a half of the last wild card spot, and that's with the Cardinals and Reds already being tied for that spot. So really, you look at where the standings are at right now, it's the Marlins at 4.5 back, it's the Mets at 7.5 back, the Giants 8 back, the Rockies 10 back. So really, the Nationals only have four teams in the National League that are behind them, which tells you how good the NL is. It'd be different in the American League. If the Nats were in the American League, they'd be squarely in the wild card spot right now, I think a game or two above the Chicago White Sox, who amazingly are in a wild card spot at 27-27. So it's a little difficult in the National League. But regardless, the way that this team is playing is really impressive to see. And to see how everybody's starting to kind of mold and gel and everything, now that you're getting towards the dog days of summer, this is when it really starts to become the grind. The Nationals have a day off tomorrow for the first time in over 2 weeks, so that's going to be good for the team to be able to reset and have the bullpen get some rest and all those sorts of things. But, you know, once you get to that June, July, August, that's when it really starts to grind on you, playing 162. So curious to see as time goes on here, you know, how this team continues to do. But now that you're getting into the meat of the MLB schedule, you're starting to see the Nationals round into form as well. And it's a blast to watch the way that they're able to score runs on a night in, night out basis, the way that the pitching staff is starting to improve day by day. It's still not great. There's still some work to be done, but you're seeing guys start to get more comfortable, and I think that's been a big part of why this team has been much more successful, specifically in the month of May, is the pitching has kind of turned a corner. You know, I'd be curious to see over 162 when this thing is all said and done. I don't really think that the Nationals will still be at the top of the league in runs scored, but the way that they've been playing, I don't think that it's something that they're going to be way out of the top. You know, they're not going to fall outside the top 10. They're going to be one of the top offenses in the sport, and I think this staff deserves a lot of credit for what they've been able to do in terms of creating a really good atmosphere, a really good opportunity for these guys to succeed, and they're doing that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little more about baseball, but not the Nationals. There's a chance for an all-time day in New York City coming up, and it leads me to another discussion about a big event coming up in just a couple of weeks that I don't think we're talking enough about as well. So let's break that down. We'll get back into the Commanders coming up at 7 o'clock, break down their OTAs. Toby Altizer with you here on Overtime on The Fan. One thing you know, whenever Metal Chris is at the controls, you're going to get some themed music, some good music. You're not going to sneak this one by me, Chris. A little Bruce Springsteen as he's playing at Nationals Park. Well done.
I figure there's probably some people driving in to the show right now listening, so why not?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Making sure you theme the music to what's going on. So Bruce Springsteen at Nats Park tonight. Should be a good concert over at the ballpark. Nats back on Friday for a series against the Padres, so it should be a good couple of days at Nationals Park. And then C.J. Abrams bobblehead on Saturday, so should be a fun time at the ballpark here the next couple of days. So speaking of going to games and at the ballpark and different things, there's a chance coming up. I'd have to double check and make sure these is correct, but Alan Bastable, I guess is how you say his name, on Twitter has this laid out where coming up in about 3 weeks from now, June 16th, there's a chance for an epic day if you're a fan of sports in New York. And I think this is really, really cool. I don't know that you're able to pull this off unless you are able to somehow skip traffic. Maybe you have your own private helicopter to fly to all these different events. But there is a chance that you could have an epic day where he's laid it out, 7 a.m. to noon. You get out early and you go watch a practice round of a Tuesday for the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, which looks like it's going to be a blast. It's always a great tournament when it's at Shinnecock, classic venue. So that should be a cool atmosphere, cool environment to watch, great golf course. And then how about this? You get over to MetLife Stadium and there's a World Cup game from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., France taking on Senegal. And then if everything goes correctly, game six between the Knicks and either the Spurs or the Thunder could be at MSG that night around 8:30. That would be an epic day. Now, there's almost no chance that you could pull off all three in the same day, but it's still cool to think that all of those could be happening in the same day in the same general region. But it got me to thinking, Chris, the World Cup is 2 weeks away. And I don't feel like we've talked about it at all. And I know here in the U.S., soccer is so far down the totem pole in terms of sports that we care about. But the World Cup is here in the United States. It's in Canada. It's in Mexico. This is the first time in my lifetime I can remember them playing here. And it's the biggest sporting event around the entire globe. And I feel like we've not given it any coverage at all. It's 2 weeks away.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the biggest soccer fan myself, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Like, I enjoy soccer, so I cannot wait for it. I just think it's funny that it's going to be like the 2 weeks away.
Once it's on, then I'm going to care, and once it's off, I'm going to not care. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a good way that a lot of fans are going to feel about it. Like, as soon as the Stars and Stripes get put on the field and all of their games are getting played out on the West Coast, so you're going to have some primetime matchups. As soon as the U.S. steps onto the pitch, as they call it, people are going to care. As soon as everything else, you know, goes on, they'll find something else to care about. So looking ahead for the United States, this is their schedule. They'll get underway Friday, June the 12th, 9 o'clock against Paraguay. Then June 19th, a week after that, 3 o'clock, they'll face Australia. And then the last game of their group play will be against Turkey on June 25th. That's a Thursday at 10 p.m. So 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I think that this country, even though it's not the biggest soccer country, when it comes to supporting the USA and their events is always big. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, you know, with the casual fans who come out of the woodworks to support during the World Cup. And then just to see the different fans from around the world coming to the United States. Obviously, no games here in the U.S., but I see that they're going to have a watch party on the National Mall that is going to be set up and people can hang out and, you know, at least enjoy some soccer here in D.C. since we're not getting any of the games. I'm sure some people from the area are going to be making a trip up to New York or a trip up to Philadelphia to watch some soccer. So it's really, really cool that the World Cup's going to be here. But it was just kind of dawning on me when I was reading that thing that there's a chance that, you know, you could go to those three sporting events in New York. Man, the World Cup's going to be here before you know it. Teams are starting to head over this direction. I think I saw that Germany was about to hop on a flight and get ready to come this direction to find their home base and start training and making sure they're ready for this whole thing. So it's going to be a blast, a lot of soccer and a quick amount of time here in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. I think that's going to be a blast for the World Cup. All right, let's get back to the actual football in America that we really, really care about, and that is American football. That's the old pigskin. And let's talk about Commanders OTAs. Jaden Daniels was on the practice field today. He spoke to the media. Dan Quinn addressed the media. I want to play some audio from him as well as Mikey Samristil. Commanders are back on the practice field at OTAs. Let's talk about it next here on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you here on Overtime, taking you up until 10 o'clock. How about some football? Commanders OTAs going on out in Ashburn today. Had the privilege of being out there to get some eyes on what the guys were out there doing. Heard from Dan Quinn. I want to play a cut from him in just a little bit. Also, Jaden Daniels spoke to the media. Mikey Samristil heard from Charles Omenihu. Javon Kinlaw has a viral clip going around with some profanity that we can't play on air. So it's good to get out there, be with the guys, see what they had to say, and just see some of the different things that are going on with this team when you make the coaching changes you did on the offensive side and defensive side. I mean, this is a whole new football team, essentially, in terms of the coaching staff, where you've got a whole new offense, you've got a whole new defense, so there's a lot of change to this team. You got the same head coach, you got, you know, a lot of the same familiar faces on the football field, but there are some drastic improvements with some of the personnel they brought in. But I think the number one thing that stood out to me watching OTAs, and this shouldn't be shocking, but this team is under center a ton. And that's something that Dan Quinn mentioned before practice, that's an emphasis, that's stuff that they're trying to work on. Obviously, Jaden hasn't played under center a ton in his NFL career. It's something that he kind of downplayed, honestly, when we talked to him after practice. He did kind of downplay, like, hey, I worked on this all the time. This isn't something like it's brand new. This isn't something that, you know, I have to learn brand new and I've never done this before. But, I mean, this is something that he's going to have to make an adjustment to. But this offense, compared to the offense that we'd seen the last couple of seasons with Cliff Kingsbury, it's night and day different. It is so much more of the traditional style. It's so much more of what you generally see on Sundays. And I think it's going to be a massive improvement for Jaden Daniels. And it's not to say that Cliff's offense didn't work. It's not to say that Cliff was the problem, because me personally, I probably wouldn't have moved off of Cliff Kingsbury. I didn't think his offense was the major issue last season. There are definitely hiccups to the Cliff Kingsbury system, and I think you saw those, you know, show up for Washington. But I also thought that he was a little bit better than he got credit for the last couple of seasons, and especially last year, even though the team struggled overall. You know, the offense wasn't great at times, but I don't think that the majority of the blame for last year should go to the offensive side of the ball. Regardless, they did move off of Cliff Kingsbury. They bring in promote David Blau to become the offensive coordinator. He'd already been in the building. And one of the positives, I think, when you're hiring a guy like David Blau, first time doing this, it's only his third year coaching, and I've been skeptical of the move, but one of the main positives is he's been in the building working with these guys, and now when he's building out his system, now when he's kind of writing that playbook, which I'm sure he's taken from, you know, other stops, and he's got an idea, but for the most part, he's kind of writing his own playbook. He's making it on the fly. He's making it and creating it with Jaden Daniels in mind, because that's who his quarterback is. He's making it with Terry McLaurin as his number one wide receiver, because that's who his wide receiver one is. So he's building this thing to them. Not to say that he's not trying to build out a good NFL system and then, you know, incorporate those guys into it, but he is having guys in mind when he is building this thing out. And I think you're seeing some of the stuff that they're trying to incorporate that's going to be a lot different. And it was very obvious today at OTAs that this team is going to operate under center. They're going to run play action. They're going to run some bootlegs. They're going to run stuff that you see Chicago run. They're going to run stuff that you see San Francisco run, that you see the Rams run. And I think that's going to be good for Jaden Daniels, because some of the stuff and some of the issues I did have with Cliff's offense was at times it felt like too much was dependent on number five. Too much was dependent on Jaden being Superman, being that superhero all the time. And I think he can be that. We've seen him do that. We saw him do it for, you know, weeks on end into the playoffs in his rookie season. So It's not saying that he can't do it. I just don't want to always have to rely on that, because I think you get into a tough spot, especially when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal and as inexperienced still as he is now going into year three. You know, it's not like he's Patrick Mahomes. It's not like he's Josh Allen, where he's had all this time under his belt and he's making a ridiculous amount of money. He's still on that rookie contract. So I think sometimes you can get yourself in trouble where you're like, oh yeah, he can do it. I know he can. I just don't want to have to live that way. You know, if I need him to try to figure something out when I'm down by four in a playoff game and I got 2 minutes to go and we need to go score a touchdown, okay, fine. I can try to throw a little more on Five's plate and say, hey, go win it for us. You're one of those special ones. You're one of those guys that we talk about in that upper echelon. Go win us the football game like so many greats have done in the past. That's a little different. I don't always want him, hey, it's week four and it's the second quarter and our run game's not working and we're not able to scheme open some guys, so Jaden, figure it out. That's kind of the issue I have with it, is at times with Cliff, it got to that point where I was like, hey, Jaden, figure it out. And so I think this scheme naturally is going to help Jaden out because of some of the play action stuff, because of some of the marrying of concepts, which we, you know, we'll hear from Mikey Sanra still next segment talking about the way that this offense can create some problems for the defense. But I think this scheme is going to do Jaden a lot of favors by just making stuff easy at times. And I'm excited to see. It looks like they're going to run some more zone style runs, those sorts of things. And I think actually Bill, who wasn't practicing today, I don't have a reason why, but he was there, but he wasn't practicing for whatever reason. But I think Bill's going to thrive in that outside zone style scheme, and they're going to do a little bit more of that. But I just think that's my biggest takeaway. I focused a lot of my attention today on the offense and just seeing some of the differences. We'll see what, you know, some of the defense looks like, and I'm excited to get back out there for training camp just to see some of the ways that they're going to go about it. You can already see some of the attacking style in some of the different things, and even today just seeing the way that the offense get up to the line of scrimmage and try to use a little bit of a hard count just to get an idea of, oh, he flinched, he's coming. You know, just that sort of idea. You know, they're going to try to do that a lot more this season, I think, and that's a good thing to help Jaden out at the quarterback position, just to get an idea. Any sort of tells you can get from the defense pre-snap is a good thing for the quarterback. But offensively, I just think that this is going to really, really improve what they're trying to do and make things a lot easier for Jaden Daniels. And you're still going to need him to make those spectacular plays when he needs to. I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was Tom Brady. I don't know if it was Peyton Manning. It might have been Mahomes or some, you know, one of the great quarterbacks in this league. Basically said, I make my money on third down in the fourth quarter. And that's kind of how I want it to be for Jaden Daniels. Make your money on third down in the fourth quarter, but on first and second down in the first three quarters, David Blau needs to help you out and make sure that you're able to be in a good spot. We just talked about this with the Nationals, putting your guys in the best spot possible to be successful. I don't know that at times they would do that with Jaden. I think in his rookie season, they put him in some opportune spots and he was able to come through, and in turn, they got a little too comfortable with him playing Superman. And you need to have a run game where Jaden can turn around and hand the ball off and he didn't have to think about it. I mean, that's something that impressed me so much in the second half of his rookie season, was the amount of thinking and mental fortitude that he had to do on a down-in, down-out basis, where it's not to say on regular run plays a quarterback is able to completely check out, but think of Tom Brady, think of Peyton Manning, when they knew they were going to be running the ball and they figured out that they were going to run it into the right look and then they, you know, got everybody set, snap the football, hand it off, and you're good. You know, the rest of the couple of seconds of the play, you're off. There's no chance of you getting hit. Like, any of that nature, like, you're off. Versus Jaden Daniels in his rookie season and last year at times, you're running a read option. So he gets the snap. He's having to read the D end. He still could get hit even if he hands the football off, because at one point he was a threat to run the football. Oh, those sorts of things. I want him to be able at times to just have a reset and just hand the football off, just to relax for a second And I think it's going to be a good thing for this system to be able to allow him to do that, marrying concepts with run and pass. You know, one time they're going to run a play to the left. The next time it's going to be the exact same look, but it's going to be a bootleg back to the right, and there's going to be someone wide open across the middle because the linebacker's moved out of the way. Like, that's what I think is really going to help this team out. And there are some things that I really enjoyed from Cliff's offense. I think some of the no-huddle stuff they could actually incorporate from time to time, and I think maybe you'll see this team, especially the guys that have been here for a couple of seasons, be more comfortable in those two-minute drills because they essentially ran no-huddle for all 60 minutes the last couple of seasons. So I wonder if you don't see, you know, some of these guys be even a little more comfortable in some of those no-huddle situations than you generally would be. But regardless, there's a totally different offense in town now. David Blau taking control, and we've still got to see how he does in terms of play calling, having a feel for that, being able to understand when to call plays, and just that art of play calling. It's not as simple as in Madden where you just go to ask Madden and let them kind of pick the plays. Like, there is an art to play calling, so I'm interested to see how David Blau does at it, but I think that was my number one takeaway, frankly, from watching OTAs, and it's obviously nothing groundbreaking. We kind of knew that this was going to be the case, but seeing the difference just over, you know, a couple of days, even seeing what they were doing some at rookie minicamp when you don't have Jaden out there on the practice field, and now seeing him back out there, you know, it's just a totally different style of offense, and I think this is really going to help this team out. I think it's going to put their guys in some good spots to really be successful and make sure that you're trying to maximize everyone else around Jaden Daniels so that they're able to help him out, and it's not just him trying to be Superman and try to create for everybody else. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I do want to talk more about this offense. Mikey Sanders still was asked a little bit about it and facing some of these types of offenses around the NFL, and he had a little bit to say about why it makes it so difficult to defend them. So we'll hear from Mikey Sanders still next. Also want to hear from what Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn had to say in the first day of OTAs. David Harrison going to drop by the program at 8 o'clock. It's Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 10 o'clock. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Talking about Commanders OTAs. David Harrison going to drop by the program at 8 o'clock. Want to get his thoughts on what he saw out in Ashburn today. But want to play some comments from Mikey Sanders still. He talked to the media for about 10 minutes after practice and talked about his comfortability playing inside and outside. We can get to the defense maybe a little bit later on in the show, but I thought it was interesting. He was asked about facing this style of offense that Washington is implementing with David Blau and some of the complexities and difficulties of playing this style of scheme. Here was Mikey earlier today at practice.
I'll just say making sure to lock in on the moving parts. Understanding, you know, things could be, you want to make sure you understand what the final picture of an offense like this is. So just when I played against it, watching film, getting to a lot of their concepts just out of different plays and looks, essentially it's almost all the same thing. It's just how many different ways can they get to those get to those spots on the field. So again, just locking in on what the final picture of an offense like this could be.
I think that's what good offense is, frankly. Is I think it can be the same thing for defense to an extent, but making simple things look complex and making complex things look simple, right? Like making it as easy as possible for your players while making it as hard as possible for the defense to figure out. I mean, that's the basic premise of what you're trying to do on the offensive side of the football in terms of putting your guys in a good spot, is just trying to make things look the same over and over again so that the next time when you throw the curveball, the next time when you throw the changeup off of it, it looks a little bit different, and it's something that they're not prepared for, and the guy's out of position, and you know they might have scouted it all week, but this guy didn't read his keys, this guy didn't trust his eyes, this guy didn't do his exact responsibility on that play, and all of a sudden, you know, here's a wide receiver wide open for a 20-yard gain over the middle of the field. So I'm excited to see how they're going to do that, and just seeing some of the basic stuff that they're running in OTAs. They're not getting into, obviously, major game plan stuff, and they're not going to run that for stuff that we can see at practice either anyways. So, you know, it's not like they were running anything crazy, but just some of the plays that you saw them run, you know, the basic stuff that you see San Francisco run on third and short on a week-in, week-out basis, stuff that you see Sean McVay running and Ben Johnson and take your pick of a really good offensive mind, stuff that sort of offense runs is stuff that's now going to be run by this team, and I think it's really going to help Jaden Daniels out. make it so that he doesn't have to go win you every ball game. And, you know, the scheme can help him out to an extent. He's still got to go out there and execute. He's still got to go out there and make the throw, and he's going to make you better because of it. He's going to make the offense better because of it. But, you know, like Mikey's saying, make the run concepts marry in perfectly to the passing concepts. Make it so that play action is a big part of your offense so that they have to respect, you know, the run game. And I think that this is going to be a really, really big boost for this offense, especially the play action side of things. And just being able to, you know, when I think about this style of offense, whether it's Ben Johnson, whether it's McVay, whether it's the Shanahan, you know, the similar types of schemes. Johnson's a little bit different, I think, than those, but similar types of schemes where you're running the football and then working off of it with play action. When I close my eyes and think about, hey, what do you think about when you say Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan type scheme? It's play action, a little bit of a bootleg, and then here comes a 15 to 20 yard in behind the linebackers who have moved up to play the run as it's, you know, the line of scrimmage is kind of shifting to the left and a little bootleg to the right, and here goes Brock Purdy, you know, whoever you want to pick, throwing that dig route in behind the linebackers. And I think that's going to be a focal point of the offense this year. And I don't know that we saw that really in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. And again, it's not a slight on Cliff, because I do think that some of the stuff that he was doing was good for this team, the way that they're able to play up tempo and different things. But I even saw a stat today from Josh Norris, and I'll see if I can pull it up. And I know he's a fantasy football guy, so sometimes they're football opinions don't carry as much weight because they're more so just focused on fantasy points than actually making a difference on the actual football field. But I thought this was interesting because this is relevant to the actual offense. Last season, 37% of Terry's targets were hitches. The rest of his career had been 15.2%. So I don't expect it to be anywhere close to the 40% it was last season. I think you're going to see ways to get Terry on the move, get him the ball on drag routes, get him the ball down the field. And, you know, an interesting part of all of this still is the Brandon Ayuk discussion. And I think Jaden handled that question today at training camp very, very well in terms of being asked about Brandon Ayuk and saying, yeah, look, we're buddies. That's a guy that's going to be a part of my life for a long time. And, you know, that's a brother for life, one of my best friends. But I don't control anything when it comes to his football future. I thought he handled that very, very well. But I'm curious to see if they do add another receiver. Because if they don't, you know, seeing some of the guys running around at practice today, De'Ami Brown looked quick, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane, Antonio Williams, Van Jefferson, you know, take your pick. There's plenty of guys. Treylon Burks, which, by the way, that was another one of my takeaways, is how big he is. I've seen him and knew he was big. I didn't know he was that big. Just seeing him in person, Chigakonkwo is running around, and Treylon Burks is running next to him, and you wouldn't be able to tell that those guys are that much different, much less play two totally different positions, one which requires a little more physicality at tight end, one playing receiver. He made a nice catch down the sideline. I think he was out of bounds on the catch, but Burks made a really nice play down the sidelines, nice catch. Also had a drop today in practice, so up and down day for him overall. But regardless, you know, who's going to step up at that second receiver role? Are they going to have to go sign somebody? I would still prefer that they at least bring somebody in as a second wide receiver, because I think it allows you then to use Terry in some different ways and allows you to kind of free that up a little bit. But I think that they're going to try to scheme their guys open a little bit better, and I don't think it's going to be the usual of, oh, line up on the left that we got accustomed to with Cliff and, you know, see what he's going to do there. But I think that there's going to be more motion involved and all those sorts of things to be able to help the quarterback out, to put him in the best position possible to see success. So I liked what I saw from their offense today. I liked hearing that from Mikey on why this type of a scheme can be so difficult to defend, because frankly, I mean, when you look at an offense that's consistently running the same look, but they're running different plays out of it, that can be difficult to defend. You don't know what you're going to get. You have to trust it and be disciplined on defense. And That's where it just takes one screw up defensively where someone's not disciplined, someone's not in the right position, and that's how you break off an explosive play and score a long touchdown or make a chunk yardage play, and those are the sorts of things that can get you really going in the right direction. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to focus specifically on Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn talked about Jaden. Jaden talked after practice as well about being motivated and having something to prove this season. Let's hear from those guys next. You're listening to Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Running through all the Bruce Springsteen, Chris. I love it. I love it. Concert getting underway. What'd you say, 8 o'clock today?
Yeah, I think he goes on at 8.
All right. Well, the concert getting underway in about a half hour at Nationals Park. Toby Altizer with you here on Overtime on The Fan, though, taking you up until 10 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, we won't have Bruce Springsteen. We'll have David Harrison, Locked On Commanders. He'll talk to us about Commanders OTAs and continuing to discuss what I saw out there at Commanders OTAs, what I heard from some of the guys. We'll talk about Terry in a little bit as well. I think you could see just the thrill that Jaden had that Terry was back on the practice field. We'll get back into that in a little bit. But let's talk about Jaden Daniels. He is the number one star of this team. And when I was thinking about some different things we could talk about tonight, you know, I was thinking, all right, maybe we could talk about some X-Factor Commanders, some of the guys that are the most important. And it's like, we can spend time trying to break down some of the other guys. As complex as it is to talk about football and break things down, sometimes it's pretty simple. This team's going to go as far as Jaden Daniels takes them. There's not a whole lot else I got to do talk about there. If he plays poorly, if he's not on the field again like he was last season, then it's going to be difficult for this team to win. If he plays at an elite level like we saw in his rookie season, this team could be one of the better teams in the NFC. Like, it's that simple. As simple as that sounds, it's true. It's true. That's how good of a quarterback he can be. And so seeing him back on the practice field, he's so smooth. I always enjoy watching him throw the football, watching, seeing him work. It's really a blast to watch him play football because he's just such a smooth athlete. The way that he does everything is really, really fun to watch. But let's hear from Dan Quinn first. He addressed the media before practice, and I really liked this talking point from DQ, talking about the way that he works hard, and that was something we didn't spend as much time talking about last season, and because we obviously gotten so accustomed to him, and that's something that was a big selling point during his rookie year is how hard he worked. But here was DQ before practice talking about Jaden Daniels and some of his work ethic.
I always notice and admire him of just like the work ethic, the coming back to get it right. His mental quickness, John, is always something that just jumps out to me of like learning a system so quickly and fast. And so I think I saw that a few years ago, and I'm feeling those same instincts now as you guys will see at practice, you know, more huddle, and it'll look differently. You'll see him under center more, but you see the same intent, you see the same communication, and I think it's the like the mental quickness that just, he makes things that are difficult look easy. And I know they're not, you know, with some play calls and how he goes about it. But that's one of the things I really respect.
That's one of the fun things, Chris, being at practice and watching some of these guys is they're all professional quarterbacks. All the guys that are going through the drills. You've got Jaden Daniels. You've got Marcus Mariota. You've got Sam Hartman, Athan Kaliakmanis. And it's fun just watching the difference between 1 to 4 and seeing how special Jaden is and looking at some of the other guys and seeing, you know, the way that they go about things. It's not like it's a, you know, Jaden Daniels and a bunch of scrubs. Like, these are all professional quarterbacks too. It's just, it's cool to see the level at which he can play the quarterback position, how smooth he can do some of the movements that they ask. And it's cool to see how hard he works and to hear the work ethic that he puts in behind it and how smart he is. JP tweeted out this, JP Finley from B. Mitch and Finley said, I asked Treylon Burks how fast Jaden Daniels has absorbed the new offense. He said, super fast. Jalen Lane had said also that it's like Jaden was a founder of the offense. And that's a little bit of what DQ was talking about there. This is a new offense for him. And when it comes to the quarterback position, that is so difficult. That's like trying to learn a new course, a new subject, a new major in college, in a short amount of time, and you got to know it inside and out. You got to be like the professor as the quarterback. It's not like you just need to know your little role and, you know, have an idea of some of the extra checks and stuff. You've got to know this thing inside and out. You've got to know where positions got wide receivers got to be positioned. You got to know, you know, if you've got a motion on this play. You've got to know all these sorts of things. And so for Jaden to already be working as hard as he is, and even after practice, Jaden was like, I'm still learning this thing. So it's not like he's got it mastered, but his work ethic was a big talking point for us in his rookie season. And remember the VR discussion and how much that helped him and those various things and the way that he was able to kind of revolutionize some of the way that quarterback training was going on. And we didn't really talk about that a whole lot last season, but I think anytime this guy's given an opportunity to allow the hard work to be the reason that he's able to be successful, it shows through. And it shows up in this sort of a season where you've got to learn an entire new system, you've got to master it, you've got to be on top of things, you've got to be the one doing it. And he's put in the extra work this offseason to make sure that, one, his body's ready, and hopefully he can stay healthy this season, but then making sure, too, that he's ready to be able to run this offense and not just be the guy that's, you know, spitting out the play call that he just heard in his helmet in the huddle, but being the one that can go out there and master this and get them into the right call, get them into the right look, make sure that they are doing exactly what they need to. So it's impressive, always impressive to see what Jaden's able to do, and it's good to hear that from DQ. It's not that we didn't know that he works hard and those sorts of things, but I always think it's cool. He says, you know, he makes the difficult things look easy, and I think that's kind of summarizes Jaden Daniels and how smooth of an athlete he is, how smooth of a quarterback he is. Makes some really difficult things look so easy sometimes that you almost take it for granted. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. I want to play a clip from Jaden Daniels in just a little bit, but before we do, let's get out to the phone lines. Again, 800-636-1067. Vic is in Akakeek. Vic, what's going on, man?
What's up, Nick?
What's up, Vic?
Not much. So, yes, we all agree that Jaden has to be better this year. He has to definitely be a replica and or better, just or dissimilar, equal to what he was his first year. His first year was a very good quarterback year outside of him just being a rookie. But I also want to recognize, though, the timing that he lost with not having Terry at the helm all season, the timing and the comfortability, the alignment of the progression of the offense to work in real time was inefficient because the offensive line was getting him killed. We were not able to run the ball consistently, and that was, even though we were not a dynamic run team per yards-wise, we had more yards this year than his rookie season. We still were able to run the ball consistently and keep the defense honest. We had several periods during the season when we were getting minimal yards, almost no yards, we had a non-existent running game. We had the offensive line was not consistent enough in keeping Jaden protected. All those things affected him. I get it. The quarterback position is such a coveted position. It's the most talked about position, the most scrutinized position. It gives sports analysts and prognosticators and a reason to have jobs. Let's just call it what it is. But I'm not going to say Jaden played horribly all season. Jaden was injured. Jaden had a lot of factors that were not on his side that he could not control. And there were a couple of games where I said, that's bad on his part. A couple of interceptions midway, late through the season I saw. But if I close with this, if we had a top 15 defense last year, top 15, top 18 maybe, we'd have still made the playoffs with his play and Mariota's play. So I definitely feel he's going to be better this year. I feel the expectation is high from the team, but I also feel the expectation is high for himself. But at the end of the day,
100%. Appreciate the phone call, Vic. Yeah, I think the tough part is it's almost tough breaking down his season last year because I don't think he played as bad as maybe it's thought of now, but he also didn't play at the same level that we saw him play in his rookie season. So I don't want it to be something where you just completely write off the year, because when he was on the field, he didn't quite look like the guy that we saw play in Detroit in the divisional round. We didn't see him quite look like the guy that we saw play at times down the stretch where he was going out and almost single-handedly winning your football games. But it's not as if he didn't look like a good quarterback still, but he was also hurt and didn't play a majority of the season. So I think for him, he's a rhythm player. I mean, he reminds me a lot of a basketball player that, you know, sometimes he can come out and might be shooting a little bit slow, but as soon as he sees one go through, now it starts to, he gets to go into that rhythm. And for him last year, as a rhythm player, not necessarily in just one game, but I think week to week and building off of things, I think that's why you saw in his rookie season, weeks one and two, he's still getting accustomed to the league. Week three is his breakout. You know, you saw him have the injury in the middle of the year with the rib, but then he starts to get in more of that rhythm down the stretch and into the playoffs. This is something we were talking about during that run. There might be teams that were better, quote-unquote, on paper, but there weren't teams that were playing better. There weren't teams that were in a rhythm more than that Washington team before they ran into the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. So, you know, I think Jaden, being that rhythm type of player last year, ended up in a spot where he never got into a rhythm coming out of training camp, never got in a rhythm in preseason. Week one, they find a way to win. Week two, they didn't have much of a rhythm because they didn't get to practice again, because you figure Terry McLaurin was out there on the field week one, but at least then they were able to have full practices leading up to week one. Week two, leading up to a Thursday night against Green Bay, they didn't really have practices. You have walkthroughs getting ready for a Thursday nighter, and then he got injured in week two, and then you're out of the lineup, and then you're back in the lineup for a week, and then you're out of the lineup. Like, those sorts of things, I think, kind of hurt him, because I think he's someone that needs to keep playing and building that rapport, and I think that's why, and I talked about this with B-Mitch a couple of weeks ago. With the schedule getting released, and we see how tough that early schedule is, they have to up the intensity of training camp. They have to. They have to come out of the gates red hot, and they need to get Jaden in that rhythm that I'm talking about as early as possible. So it's something that he comes out week one, and he's ready to roll, and he looks like the Jaden Daniels we all know he can be. Speaking of Jaden, want to hear from him. He said that he's got some extra motivation. We'll play that for you next. He's always got something to prove. And I thought Scott Abraham asked him a really good question. He had a really good response to him. So we'll play that for you next. You're listening to Overtime with Toby Altizer on The Fan. Commanders OTAs were going on today out in Ashburn. Good to see the guys back out on the practice field. Toby Altizer with you. Was able to be out there and see what some of the guys were, what they're up to, and hear from them as well. And want to hear from Jaden Daniels. I thought this was interesting. Scott Abraham was asking a lot of guys about some of the things that you want to build on after last year and seeing if there was some differences to the way that this team is approaching things going into this season after the way the last season went. But he asked Jaden this question, which I thought was interesting, and I love Jaden's response, basically asking him, you know, hey, do you have something to prove? Here was Scott Abraham asking Jaden Daniels a question earlier today at Commanders OTAs.
Do you feel like you have anything to prove this year?
I mean, I don't think in this profession, if you got something to prove, if you don't feel like you don't got something to prove, then you shouldn't be doing it. So that should answer your question, yeah.
He's always quick and short to the point. Jaden's not long-winded. He's not someone that you're going to ask a question and expect him to ramble on for 5 minutes. So it's only a quick soundbite. But I love that from Jaden. If you don't have something to prove, then you're in the wrong profession. Every single day you're going out there to try to prove something, even if it's just to yourself, even if it's just to the haters, even if it's just to your teammates. It doesn't matter who you're trying to prove it to. You're trying to prove something every time you go out there. Otherwise, you get to a point where I thought this was interesting, seeing just Jeff Teague is quite an interesting person to follow on social media, and some of the ways that he talks about his career and how things have gone after his career. And he's highly entertaining. And just to see some of the clips of him going on different podcasts, you know, he was recently on, I think it was the Old Man and Three podcast, and was basically saying that after he got to a certain point in his career, He didn't care if they won or lost, because so many of the people that he looked up to, so many of the guys that were in the locker room that had been there longer than him, that were getting paid the bigger contracts, seemingly didn't care. And that maybe that's a little hyperbolic. Maybe that's a little bit of a different revisionist type of history in the way that he played the game. But I think it can explain a little bit of why some of those Hawks teams maybe weren't better than they should have been. But regardless, I think that's the kind of mentality you can end up in if you're not out to prove something every single day. And especially at a position as hyper analyzed as the quarterback position in the NFL. If you're not out there to prove something day in, day out, then you're going to be forgotten about. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be a cast off, and you're going to be someone that, you know, is run out of town. Versus, you know, you look at some of the guys that are constantly trying to find a chip, constantly trying to find a different angle to motivate them. And those are the guys that are the all-time greats. You know, those are the guys that have that chip of, hey, I want to go out there and prove something every single time they step on the floor, every time they step on the field. And I think, obviously, Jaden's big-time role model, or the guy that he looked up to, especially for his mentality, is Kobe. And I think we'd all understand that Kobe had that sort of mentality, right? I got something to prove. I got something to show you every single time he stepped on the floor. And so I love that answer from Jaden Daniels about, hey, if you're not in this profession to try to prove something, even if it's just to yourself, then you're probably in the wrong spot. You're probably not in the right spot, because you're going to be in the spotlight regardless. You better go out there with something to prove, or you're going to end up looking like an idiot. 800-636-1067. We're going to get to David Harrison at 8 o'clock. But first, let's get out to Dave in Chantilly. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, Toby. It's good to talk to you. I'm Zin's World in the YouTube chat usually. So
love it.
But I love the point you were talking about before with bringing up the chemistry of Jaden with the team now, because compared to last year, you know, I was telling your guy, like, you know, if you look at Jaden and Terry's relationship last year, they were like two, like a husband and wife, one work days, one work nights, you know, crossing feelings that never got to talk to each other. They didn't have more than 2 weeks consecutively together to train or to play a game. They were always injured at like opposite times. So they both were like, one was out, the other was in, vice versa. And if you look at that first season, it took them until about like the Bengals game to really start to get in that rhythm with each other and the whole offense clicked. We had none of that last year. You know, it was a fluke of a year, you know, with the injuries. I mean, it's almost unbelievable, you know. So I think that they will get in stride together this year, having the offseason train together. We've got more depth at wide receiver, I feel like, this year than last year. You know, I didn't really want to get rid of Zaccheaus and Brown, yeah. But, you know, it happened. But I really like the chance for the chemistry. I think this year is a lot better than last year, is my point, you know.
For sure. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I think that's a major thing, is having everybody there at OTAs, going to have all the guys there at training camp. I think that's massive. Because like I'm talking about, I think that Jaden is a rhythm player. He needs to be out there working with the guys. And one of the things that I love seeing when I'm out there at practice is seeing just the conversations that Jaden is having in periods when he's not participating, or, you know, the twos or the threes are on the field and the ones are standing off to the side. He used to have conversations with Bobby Wagner during those times. Today, obviously, no Bobby Wagner. It was funny seeing 54 out there, but did not look nearly the same as Bobby Wagner. You had Leo Chenal running around there in 54 today. But instead, today, the conversations were with Terry. And some of it was, hey, you know, laughing and just guys hanging out at practice. And then some of it you can see just by the motions and things that they're doing. They're talking about, hey, maybe on this route, try to cut this one off at this sort of an angle. Or, hey, I'm looking for you here. Or here's the kind of target I'm looking for. Or here's what, you know, I want you to put the ball here. Those sorts of things. Just talking through ball. Talking through how they see the game from their various positions. And that's huge for a team. That's huge for chemistry. And Jaden is somebody that we didn't see it as much last year. I think one of the concerning parts about watching Jaden last season was his accuracy has always been one of his calling cards, and his accuracy was a little bit wayward last year. And so talking through some of those things when you have an accurate passer and saying, hey, man, in this sort of a route, try to put it on this hip so I can keep running, or try to put it here so I can, you know, settle down, or whatever it may be, just the little nuances of the receiver position for Terry. You know, a lot of people have been talking about him doing some work, maybe trying to be more of a hands catcher this season. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that's going to play out or not. I can tell you at OTA practice today, he was working on some hands catches, whether it was low on the ground, catching the ball in his hands over the shoulder, catching the ball in his hands right in front of his face mask, like all those things. He's working on those sorts of things, so maybe he's going to try to be less of a body catcher. But regardless, just those conversations are invaluable. And those are the sorts of things that you can't have unless you're at the facility at the same time, working in OTAs or doing training camp, or even some of the off-season workouts that they were doing themselves out in California. Terry had talked about that, I think, last week, saying that Jaden had put together some stuff for them to work out in Southern Cal with Jaden and some of the receivers. So just working together, being on that same page, I think is massive for Jaden. I think that's something that he really thrives on, is that week in, week out work together. And the more they work together, I think the more you're going to see Jaden Daniels thrive. And having Terry out there is massive for this team. I think he's going to be, you know, really a big X factor for this offense as well. And I think you're going to see a difference. If you have a healthy Terry McLaurin that goes out there and has another Terry McLaurin season where he goes for 1,100, 1,200, 1,300 yards, and he's reliable week in, week out, that gives you something that really you lacked last season, because obviously he was hurt, or, you know, Debo is having to step in that role, and he's a different type of receiver. So it's going to be massive for this offense to have both those guys working together again. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, David Harrison, Locked On Commanders. He was out at OTAs. I want to get his thoughts. I love talking ball with David Harrison, so curious to hear what he had to see today out in Ashburn at Commanders OTAs. You're listening to Overtime with Toby Altizer on The Fan.